What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, we've reached the end of the Daedric Creatures. We've made it all the way through the list. I'm your host, Tom. This is Lotus. Lotus.
Hey.
Hey, man. We did it. We're done.
Well, actually, we've almost done it. We have to finish this episode. Then we did it.
Yeah. So we'll do the episode first.
We're about to do it.
We've got three more Daedric Creatures. Man, it's quite a journey. We've been doing this for months.
Yeah, has been, I really don't think I understood how involved this was actually going to be when we started this.
When I pitched you the idea.
It was like some good ideas. It was like, yeah, that'll hold us for a while. And then it was like, oh, there's a lot of these things.
Yeah, it was like the summer. I was like, maybe we should go through all the Daedric Creatures. And you're like, yeah, it'd be cool. And I was like, well, let's maybe do three or four at a time. And you're like, okay. And I'm like, well, that got us through with the A's.
Yeah, it's like, oh boy. Oh,
there's a bunch. But yeah, welcome back. We're not talking about Crow Daedra. We've already talked about Crow Daedra, but alphabetically, we've been going through the list. There is something called the Wraith of Crows, which doesn't have a bunch of lore. We'll be going over that today. But yeah, then...
going to be the Slim Pickens one. Yeah. I do kind of like, while we were talking about this earlier, it's still does have some stuff to talk about because it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's one of those like, we'll get into it. And then we've got Zivalai and Zivkin, which are way more interesting. But first we have to kick this off with the Wraith of Crows. We've talked about Crow Daedra. We've talked about how they're connected to Nocturnal, about how they have these little voices in the game. They talk to you. They say funny things in ESO.
Yeah, they talk in very erratic patterns and stuff like that. They're kind of very memeable. The series.
Yeah, they're kind of comedic. Every so often in ESO especially, they'll have kind of like a comedic character that shows up.
Comedic relief.
Yeah. So that's the Crow Daedra. But according to this, and as usual, we're referencing just as launching off points, the UESP articles about each of these. Crow Daedra, did you know this, can combine and create the otherworldly creatures known as Wraith of Crows, also known as Wraith Scythes, which are crow-like semi-humanoid skeletal figures that usually possess a pair of large black wings. And this is what they look like. These are nightmare fuel. What do you think, Lotus?
Yeah, so I think these things are a pretty cool enemy, but I'm pretty hung up on the fact that it's like, so are Crow Daedra like a liquid?
Right. In the pre-show, we were talking about Transformers and toys from our childhoods. And I was talking about the Constructicons and you combine them all together. Doesn't seem to be a way to combine a bunch of Crow Daedra into this shape.
Right. This does not look like a bunch of crows formed a big crow man thing.
Right. It's very humanoid.
This is so humanoid and it's got like a full beak and like... Yeah. Actual arms and wings, not made of crows. They're wings. So
right. And a human sized head, not a crow sized head. And arms and legs that are very humanoid, like skeletal, but with like crow feet, but human sized crow feet, not small little crow feet.
Yes. So that would mean, I guess, that the crows change form and squish together and then just silly putty their way into looking like this. Like Crow Daedra actually just like amorphous little blobs and not actually crow shaped at all?
I don't know. And somehow they create clothing too, because this thing is wearing
it's
a tunic with some shoulder pads
rags.
And a hood and some they're not really shoes, they're more like feathered leg warmers.
Which do you think, I feel like we're overanalyzing this. Do you think they each have a role? Like, oh, I'm going to liquefy and become like the belt, and I'm going to liquefy and become the hood,
right,
and I'll become the beak.
Yeah.
And like,
mm-hmm. By our powers combined.
Right. But it's like a hierarchy thing. So you have to work your way up to being something useful, like an eye socket or
a claw.
But
I don't want to be the butt again. No, somebody has to be the butt.
Right, but then if you're a new Crow Daedra, you get,
Butt duty.
Congratulations, you're the loincloth. It's like, oh, man.
Booty duty.
Booty duty. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even necessarily that this creature is exceptionally weird. The fact that they really have no explanation for it other than, yeah, Crow Daedra make this thing. It's like,
right, right. Now you might be wondering,
like, that raises more questions.
Yes. You might be wondering, how exactly do we know this? What is the information that leads us to believe that this is how these things are created? A bunch of crows somehow silly putty into this thing. Well, we have the source for you. The Clockwork City is in a very interesting place, and there are super these clockwork facilitators, you know, like the robot guys that walk around. They carry with them a lot of knowledge that has been deposited in them intentionally about the way things work in Nirn across the board with so many different things. When you're in the Clockwork City, you can talk to them. You can find out, when discussing with them the Wraith of Crows, what they know about it. Here's what they know. This is the quote. The Wraith of Crows is comprised of several Daedric crow-like entities which create a semi-humanoid figure. It possesses both physical and magical attacks. Caution is advised when combining this creature, or not combining, combating this creature. That makes more sense. No other information can be found. So Thassil, the clockwork robot things, like, yeah, that's as much as they know about this too, I guess.
Right. I guess, yeah, data is limited on these things. I don't know. Nocturnal keeps this stuff under wraps, apparently. I don't
I guess so, but like, that's it. And that, I mean, that's coming from, I'm assuming, making assumptions here, information that was deposited in these clockwork entities by scholars, or if not, Sothasil himself, right? And yes. Sothasil's pretty well informed. He's been around for a really long time. He likes to study the way Nirn works, you know, all the magics and different kinds of magics and tonal archaeology and all of whatever. And so you would assume that this must be a trustworthy source. So I guess that's just how this works.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, yeah, it's very, it feels like a lot of questions that we just asked probably just weren't thought out yet.
Yeah, it seems more like let's talk about the meta perspective on this, because this is, we like to get into the lore perspective of how this stuff is designed.
Sure.
But and from the outside, this feels a lot like, hey,
we need a creepy Halloween type creature.
Right. Yeah, let's make a creepy Halloween crow man, because, oh, this is a cruel design.
Yeah,
how do we justify it? I just combine a bunch of danger crows together and it turns into this thing.
Yeah, I don't hate it, because I like the creature itself. I just like I feel like if they just said there is no data available, I would have less questions.
Or maybe this thing was
made out of Crow Daedra is what's hanging me. I was like, wait, yeah, this makes me have a lot more questions about other things, right? Not about the Wraith of Crows. Like, had they just not elaborated on that, I feel like this would have been better.
Right. Or had just said, like, this is some sort of concoction from Nocturnal's realm. We're not sure about its association with Daedra crows or not. Like, maybe just leave it a little bit more vague. That would have been fine. But no, it's combined by crow things. So I guess that makes sense. I mean, if you look at the Crow Daedra themselves, they've got these like glowy eyes. They have this kind of like wispy purple thing that kind of goes on around them. Maybe they are more amorphous than they appear. Maybe they are less solid like actual birds that we would experience, and they are more ghostly and, I don't know, just kind of
gelatinous
gelatinous bird things. I don't know. Maybe.
Rob kind of asked, like, are these the same bird guys that come out of the Harrow Storms? And as far as I know, yes. I mean, these things are used several times in the Elder Scrolls Online. Also, the only place you will see these things currently is the Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of see them during some of Nocturnal's invasions.
Nocturnal's emissions, though.
No, very different. Very different situation. Crows don't like that. then there's the Witch's Festival event, where you can summon that one out in the graveyard that they added a couple years ago. That's actually a pretty sweet boss fight. I like that thing quite a bit. There's the versions from Harrow Storms. There's the in Castle Thorn, you fight another one. It's got a giant like sickle and it knocks things off the ceiling and reanimates a like vampire. So it's like they're kind of floating about, and my assumption is they're all just kind of the same thing. I don't think so. I just assume this has a tie to anything Daedric that, you know, has a tie to maybe Nocturnal or not even, because it kind of, as we've learned throughout this series, the Daedric kind of oftentimes just rent a mercenary. Like,
right.
Some of them are loyal to a specific prince. A lot of them are just like, whatever.
That raises an interesting question, because sorcerers on Nirn can summon Daedric to come do things for them from whatever Daedric realm they happen to come from. I would imagine that it's possible for Daedric princes to just summon other Daedric to them and maybe even steal them from either non-associated realms of Oblivion, maybe, like little pocket dimensions that nobody really rules over, because we know there's some of those, or maybe even directly as competition with, you know, or from, I mean, they can't really invade each other's space without other things happening that allow them to invade each other's space, but who knows? Maybe they're just constantly like stealing each other's like workers or whatever.
So the other thing that I actually wanted to bring reference to, because it sort of is on brand, but in a weird way, is Rob brought up the fact that, like, okay, well, maybe the crows revert back to being Azurplasm, because that's how, like, you can't kill Daedra. They, like,
yeah, they go back to the goo. Die.
They turn into Azurplasm and then reform over exceptionally long periods of time, which is supposedly rather unpleasant, which seems weird that they're just like, oh, let's intentionally do this. But then wouldn't that mean, since I don't believe there's any scenario where it's Daedra just voluntarily turning into Azurplasm?
No, they seem to avoid it. They seem to not like it.
Yes, Battlespire references what a horrific experience it is to be like reformed, and that's why they steadily go crazy over
time. In the novels too, they talk about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that just makes me think, like, all I picture with that is just like the crows grabbing rocks and bonking each other on the head, like kind of finish each other off just to form one of these things. And it's like, I don't feel like that's a great strategy for kind of defeating your enemies, but
we have some wonderful artists in the Elder Scrolls community. I follow a lot of them on Twitter or wherever, whatever you call it anymore. I would love for some comics about like little crows bonking each other in the head.
Bonking each other with rocks and then turning into a wraith of crows.
That could even be a t-shirt. If anybody out there wants to design a t-shirt about that, let us know. We haven't updated our t-shirts in a long time.
And they're all just bonking each other with rocks.
Yeah. Like the general t-shirts, like not the patron ones. So anyway, that's Wraith of Crows.
The Wraith of Crows.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Zivalai before we get to the mid-break. Zivalai, way more information. Lotus, these show up lots of different places.
These are not uncommon.
Not uncommon. One of the intelligent races, like the Dromora. Here, let's just read through what it says so far. It says, Zivalai are highly intelligent Daedra that look like tall and muscular blue/gray-skinned warriors with piercing yellow eyes. They are similar in many ways to their fellow most human-like Daedra, such as the Dromora, in terms of appearance, personality, and temperament, but are of greater power and disdain subordination, being liable to disloyalty and betrayal when they feel they have not been treated with the proper deference and respect. They are rarely bound to a clan, and only the most powerful in the Daedric hierarchy compel their obedience. Thus, they are most commonly seen in the services of entities such as Mehrunes Dagon and Molag Bal. They often wield two-handed weapons and cast a wide variety of spells, including one to summon lesser Daedra. So these guys think they're at the top of the Daedric hierarchy, at least as far as you get without being a prince.
Right. And oftentimes they kind of are in power scale in the games. Like, you don't fight these things usually until much later on, oftentimes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I do find kind of interesting, because like we mentioned, unlike a lot of the creatures we've talked about where they just are refined to one game, a lot of times it's ESO is coming up with like, okay, well, we haven't seen these before, but here's like this kind of rank and file Daedra enemy that you can fight. The Zivalai have been in several games, actually up there at one of the higher amount of games. Battlespire is their first appearance, and they're less blue, like that bluish hue that they kind of have.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really there originally. They were much more skin toned. And honestly, do you have Zivilai Moath that you could bring up?
Moath?
Zivilai Moath.
Zivilai, is that on the list of
he
pictures?
Should be the first animated
GIF. Oh, yeah. I've been showing him. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the battle spider. So that one, yep. Yes. Yep. So he just looks like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, right? And he's got some sort of like weird hair thing going on.
Yeah, he's just like sort of a jacked dude. Like
right, with no shirt.
That's really it.
Right.
And then they've become more bestial over time. Almost like a different version of a Dremora type of deal.
Yeah, more demonic looking.
Yes, yeah. Definitely got the demon type of thing. And they started to become, they had that bluish hue to them that is pretty prevalent now. That started with Oblivion. But yeah, they've been in Battlespire, Oblivion, The Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion, not literally Oblivion, ESO, they've been in Legends. Like, this is actually a pretty commonplace enemy. And I don't know, I think these are a pretty cool addition to the series, especially because they look relatively intimidating in the grand scheme of things compared to some of the other enemies. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, they look like very strong demon like people.
And yeah, they were they're one of the few things originally when I played Elder Scrolls Oblivion, when you would go into Oblivion Gates and you would have like a bunch of these things would mess you up.
Right. Yeah. You fight like the Clan Fears and like the Ogrims, right, and like the other guys. But then once you level up to a high enough level, you'd come across these things. And I remember entering some of the towers and being like, nope, and right out. I was like, oh, nope. Yeah. Just running past that. Just going to run, right, just run to the end, hit the little thing at the end, warp out of here. I'm done. I don't need to fight all these guys, because they were pretty intimidating in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. They did it. They usually carried, if I remember correctly, like ebony weapons, too. So if you could take them down, you got some pretty decent payout. But yeah, the Zivilai are pretty cool. They're also like, we've mentioned like the mercenary style thing. They are like the ultimate mercenaries for hire, where it's like literally, okay, we'll just go to whoever we think is the strongest, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have no real allegiance to much other than themselves.
Right. Yeah. It totally tracks. It would make sense that like once you are at the top level of the Daedric creatures, that you would be very, very self-focused,
and
that
you would, right, you very self-focused. And it's like, what can you align yourself with to better yourself? And it's like, okay, well, this Daedric Prince is like invading Nern. Okay, we'll go with that one. That
right.
Seems
oh,
good.
We get to slaughter a bunch of mortals because we hate them. Sounds right. Good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm on board with you. Whereas Perryite, it's like, okay, I don't think they want to do desk work, so they're going to skip out on like Perryite.
Right. So there's this other interesting thing about their behavior. It says here that many Zivilai are often encountered in pairs, sometimes working together for a common goal, and other times being linked to each other as twins. Zivilai twins have been observed as merging themselves using magical rituals. Unlike most Daedra, Zivilai are not primarily soldiers, though. Instead, they hold other ranks and occupations, such as assassins, knights, torturers, slave masters, overseers, and even judges when serving various masters. High-ranking Zivilai are distinguished by distinct coloration along their chests, and you can see this in some of the images on the UASP, where different Zivilai have different designs and colors, almost like they glow across their chests and their arms. It's pretty cool looking stuff. But this whole thing about them being showing up in pairs, that's very unique to this group.
That is. And it's speaking of the in pairs thing, and I guess going back to this weird trend we're going to have with this episode with amorphous blob nature, which I wasn't really planning on being the direction of the show, but sometimes you never know where it's going to go. There's the Lambrus twins, which are a pair of the Zivilai. They're actually a boss that you encounter in the Elder Scrolls Online. And the first time you fight them, you basically just knock them out of commission. Like you slay them type of thing at the end of the dungeon. And then when you go back into the dungeon for the second version, like Crypto Hearts 1 and Crypto Hearts 2, you actually fight them again. They're back in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Because they're Daedra and they're
pissed off.
and they're really annoyed. And you fight them for a while, and then they basically join arms or join hands or whatever and sink into the ground, burst into flame, and come out as a giant bone colossus instead. So they apparently have decided, okay, well, then we're just going to become something even more intimidating again. And it's like, all right, so everything's going to start shape-shifting, I guess. But yeah, I don't know if that's a thing based, because they never really go too much into that.
Yeah, like, why? How does that actually happen? Did they disappear and summon something? Did they melt into and reform this?
So yeah, that's kind of the question, is like, so was to your point, did they kind of like dig into the ground, summon this thing and peace out? Or is this like, can any of them do that? Because you never really see them doing that otherwise. So is this a thing where if there's two of them and they have like a connection, is that like a thing that the connection can provide? They can transform or something? I don't know. It's one of those things that I'm curious if they'll ever expand more on, like, do they have more powers when they're in twos? Like, is there a reason they're in duos?
Well, I've met a few different twins in my life, and none of them seem to have that ability.
They don't have any. They can't just turn into a giant bone colossus?
I mean, I haven't seen them do it. But
have you tried slaying them?
I have not attacked them and tried to murder them or ask them specifically, hey, can you guys just melt into a bone colossus?
Can you be this and just hold up a picture of a bone colossus?
Is this like a twin power that I just didn't realize was a thing? So yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be a useful power, although we also, I mean, unless you wipe by dying, theoretically, you just killed the bone colossus. I don't know that that's necessarily a great strategy, because then are they stuck as a bone colossus when they have to reform?
It's like, the only reform.
It's a one-time deal.
In bone colossus form from that point on.
Yeah, it's just like, sorry, now you're just one entity and you're just this bone colossus when you reform.
Right. Bone colossuses have multiple heads. Maybe there's like their personalities are in two of the different heads and they just argue.
That point, though, bone colossi usually have three heads. So where's the third one?
Where's the third head? Yeah.
So are they actually triplets? We're getting weird here.
Maybe they lost their sibling a long time ago, but they keep like them in their like pocket or in like a soul gem or something.
All right, that's one theory. I like your theory, but what if while they were forming, a scamp just like ran in real quick?
This is my chance. This is my chance.
And just like, time for an upgrade. And it just kind of squishes his way in. And it went from a duo to a triplet.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's super weird.
I feel like we're overanalyzing some of the creatures in the series. At least these ones have been around for a while.
You know, if we had more actual details about so many of these Daedra creatures, we wouldn't have to overanalyze so much. Instead, we just have like weird situation happens. What is that about? Well,
what is. Oh, well, yeah. It's. I mean, the Daedra are very strange, anyways. Just going through this Daedric bestiary, it makes me realize it's like, yeah, some of these things have had some really cool, I don't know, transformations over the years, like that the series has been active. Mm-hmm. And others, it's just like, man, I hope they do more with this, because they're such like a, this is here. But like some areas of this game are so fleshed out, and other ones, it's like, oh man, I actually hope they add more to this. Like, why can they do this? What the hell does this mean? Like,
yeah. And the Zivalai are weird and interesting. I mean, there's even the quote from Visla Lee, who says the Zivalai are compelled to defeat their reflections in combat. I have seen them sneer at their own faces while inspecting a blade. There is a madness in them that has no cure. What? Like, I mean, you know how in like dogs, some dogs will see their reflections in a mirror and they'll think it's another dog.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they're highly intelligent beings. I don't think that's what's happening, but there's something about seeing their reflection that like, for some reason comes across really strange to them.
I don't know. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They are a very strange type of, I mean, all the Daedra are weird. We've said that.
Yes.
But there are very different. Like the twins thing, the personalities, they take on these different jobs. They're not just soldiers. There's a lot going on with these. I wouldn't even be surprised if some of them hadn't tried, say, even rebelling against their Daedric princes in order to mantle them or something like that. Like just like mortal wizards, you know, like sorcerers like Manimarca, who tried to become a god and then eventually did and then was defeated, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. Is that happening in the Daedric realms with powerful enough creatures like the Zivalai?
Right. And to Rosicus's point, yes, they're Daedric beta fish. That is what they actually are.
Beta fish. There you go.
Yes, 100%. I was thinking the exact same thing. So when you typed that, I was like, yep, that's exactly where my mind went to. Yeah, it's just like. Yeah.
But a lot of these Daedric creatures are horrifying. And I would imagine coming across one of these in particular it would not wait to just murder you for the fun of it.
Sure. And it's sort of, I mean, it's not a throwaway reference, but it's a reference from a very obscure side one-off game in the series. I joke like a lot about like references to Battlespire because I feel like they, despite the 90s cringe galore in that game, there's a lot of weird lore, especially when it comes to the Plains of Oblivion and some of the creatures that the series has sort of expanded upon in some ways. They've kind of reined some of it back in other ways because some of it got real weird.
Yeah.
But one of the ideas that was put forth was this idea that it's like, well, you don't really kill Daedra. They have this really horrific reincarnation. Mm-hmm. There's a quest that gets pretty dark that goes into it type of thing. But essentially, it adds a layer of madness to them over time. And these creatures they get slain in battle.
Well, it's just like continued trauma over and over and over and over again.
And they repeat this, and supposedly each incarnation being horrible kind of strips away some of their sanity. So some of these creatures, like these things, seem like they've been around for a long time, especially in the grand hierarchy of things. It's like maybe some of that, it's like, okay, yeah, they're still with it in some degrees, but it's like, are they seeing like an older version of themselves in their own reflection? And it's like freaking them out or something, you know what I mean?
Right. Or bringing back memories of themselves, like when they went through terrible things just because they saw themselves.
So it's like, there's a lot of implications from these things. The stronger and longer they've been around, it also leads to the higher potential for them having some serious issues with like
in chat, Digilady says PTSD for Daedra.
PTSD for Daedra, for real, like it sort of is. So I wonder if that's like almost a reference to, it's like, yeah, okay, they've got, you know, a strong, you know, moral code, as weird as it is, that they kind of mention amongst different things they have, and you know, they think rather highly of themselves in the grand scheme of things compared to other Daedra. But it's like, is there this weird underlying trauma to them that sometimes you will kind of show itself, and it's due to how long they've been around? And I mean, none of them are going to be immune to that type of thing unless they're, you know, unable to feel or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, to the point where, like, not only do they freak out or want to attack their own reflections, but it's also known that there are no mirrors in Fargrave because of this reason.
Sure. Yeah. Which is like, also a really funny, like,
yeah,
note.
Like, we just don't put mirrors there.
Yeah. Because there are no mirrors, because otherwise there's just going to be shattering mirrors left and right.
Right. Right. So weird. Yeah. Like, it kind of makes sense, though, because I mean, in our own world, as people go through certain types of trauma that lead to very negative psychological developments, they end up lashing out in strange ways. So,
right.
It's a weird thing. But that's the Zivalai. We're going to take a quick break and go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. But then we'll be back with the Zivkin, which also are very interesting. So here we go.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here. And I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No. This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are. This is the middle of the show, and thank you so much for your support, for being here, for all of you who have signed up on the Patreon over the years, and to those of you who are still signed up as Daedric Princes, because you get shout outs every week. Blinding Vision, Kirasi, and Sheogorth Sweeroll, thank you so much. And thank you to all 114 of our current patrons. Also, a reminder, not only can you get all sorts of cool stuff, ad-free episodes, t-shirts and stickers and things like that on the Patreon, depending on the tier that you sign up for. But our patron chat is coming up next week. So we record these, of course, on Thursday nights. And our patron chat is also on Thursday night on the 29th, the last day of the month next week. There's plenty of time to sign up still if you'd like to join us. We'll be discussing what we'll be talking about. Maybe I would suggest we all talk about what we thought about all these different creatures and which ones were our favorites or which ones we're most scared of and those kinds of things, because we've kind of gone over all of them the last few months. So that would
we
be a lot of fun.
A whole other day this month just for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can kind of have a wrap-up episode with our patrons and get their feelings about all these. That would be awesome. So you're welcome to come join us if you want to sign up. Also, you can leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It's a wonderful way to get your words on the show. We'll read that out on a future episode. You can rate the show on Spotify. You can tell your friends. Oh, and the other thing I never mentioned is because when you sign up on the Patreon, you get ad-free episodes. You don't have to wait till you get caught up on all like 200 plus episodes in order to join us over there. In fact, it's a very efficient way to get through the content without having to worry about ads and all that other stuff. So if that's something you're interested in, then that could help out as well. And it would help us out. So thank you so much. And let's get on with our last Daedric creature. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So here we are. The last one, Lotus. The Ziv.
Yeah.
Zivkin? Z. Or, yeah. X-I-V.
I always say Zivkin, but.
Kin or Kine. X-I-V-K-Y-N.
Yeah, it's a nightmare word.
Yeah, and they look kind of similar to Zivali. There's a similarity thing going on here. And there's a reason for that. Here, let's go into the details. Zivkin are an intelligent race of Daedra who were created by and swear fealty to the Daedric prince Moleg Bal. Moleg Bal is just everywhere. They were created to serve as his personal guard and are the product of experiments with vestigial hybridization between Dremora, or the kin or the kine, and Zivali, in the Vile Laboratory. So if you take the Dremora, you take the Zivali, and you blend them together, you get the Zivkin.
Yeah, this is sort of a trend that Moleg Bal has during the time of ESO, where it's just like, there's this thing, and there's this other thing. I'll just throw these in a blender with some stitches, and here we go. We have this other nightmare creature, like when we had the Ash Titans type of thing.
It's
like, not quite a dragon. Mm-hmm. Not quite a just generic Daedra. Yeah, let's squish it together. And we get this horrible abomination. It's like, well, this is my dragon. This is essentially, these are my Zivali or my Dremora specifically.
Right, because especially the Zivali are, you can pay them to do some things, but they're not by any means loyal.
Right.
These, on the other hand, are extremely loyal to Moleg Bal. It seems like these experiments had worked. In fact, he used them during the occupation of the Imperial City during the Plane Meld. They were the ones who were basically running that. And I guess it means they're pretty loyal, so he must have trusted them.
Yeah,
so.
It really does. It's like almost like he crafted or bred his own version of like little troopers to have, and it's like, well, you know what, we need some unwavering loyalty, which I guess the Prince of Domination. What a surprise. Once a month.
Seems to value
loyalty.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Right. I don't know. Right. I guess those relate. But yeah, it seems like the idea was, because you do run into Zivalai and you know, Dremora and stuff like that, and all other Daedric creatures through his realm and stuff when you're in Cold Harbor or battling it, the Dark Anchors that he's, you know, dropping throughout Tamriel. But then when it's like, okay, well, the first assault didn't go so well. Now we're assaulting the actual Imperial City. You know what? Let's hodgepodge something up that really won't question anything I want. It's just right. Like unwavering loyalty. I want these things. Yep. Like, just make me something that fits the quota.
Yeah, and it seems to work. The article goes on and says, Zivkin are known to train Clanfear and Daedroths and consider harvesters to be lacking in cunning. The term Zivkin is heavily, here's a fun word for you, Cyrodiilicized.
Perfect.
Referencing the Zivkin's resemblance to the Dremora and the Zivalai the race was bred from. They have several names for themselves, including the terms, here we go, fun pronunciation of Daedric words, Stolovric, Kimrikif, and Versago. Those sound like fancy dishes you get at some...
I was going to say, the last one sounds like a pairing wine with a pasta dish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Please send me some of the Versago. I'd like to try the Versago with my dish of Stolovric, please.
Beautiful. That sounds delicious or absolutely horrific, depending on...
And the Kimrikif, I'll have that for dessert. Thanks. Thanks for that. So how the Zivkin refer to themselves seems somewhat sporadic, as what they call themselves is said to change depending on the hour... Weird. They appear as tall humanoid Daedra that possess blue-gray skin and ridged black horns that vary in length and curvature. Apart from the standard rack of horns, they may also have smaller horns on their forehead, crown, or chin. They also have sunken, icy blue eyes resembling their masters, as well as tapered ears. They tend to tower over their Dremora subordinates. So... bigger than Dremora,
like super troopers,
right?
Like,
and because
specifically making bigger ones to be more intimidating, so that maybe the other Dremoras that are enlisted into the service don't rebel. Like, oh, I'll just make these bigger and more intimidating.
Right. Yeah. So, yes, and I would imagine that they are put in charge because they are loyal, and so therefore they can kind of domineer over some of these other
groups. Their sort of shifting nature is interesting. The fact that it's just like, okay, they can kind of change, so they're also like a mood ring as well, I guess. Like, that's
mood ring, the Daedra.
Yeah, I guess that you wouldn't know what to expect if it's like shifting at all. I don't know. That's a peculiar little addition that they added.
Yeah. And these, as far as I know, they're only in ESO and then other games after that. So like Legends.
Yes, ESO and Legends, I think, right, are the only two. Again, one of the more newer creations, but it seemed to fit more that these things were created, not so much as just like a general thing to add to the world to kill off, like in an MMO, which is something we've discussed a couple times with some of the enemies in ESO, where it's just like, yeah, they're not super fleshed out because I kind of needed just something to fight. These seem almost like they match some of the trend of Molag Bal doing, like, combining experiments. Oh, what can I make? It gives off the very, like, mad scientist vibe in Elder Scrolls Online with a lot of the invasion stuff, because sometimes when you go into his areas, like his realm and stuff in Cold Harbor, you see these like tables where there's just like chunks of things that they're being like stitched together. And there's like, you know, the Imperial City prison, which is one of the places that he's sieging.
Mm-hmm. Heck, even in the stuff. Really early storyline for ESO, where you end up in, was it Cold Harbor?
Yeah, in Cold Harbor, in the Wailing Prison and stuff like that at the very beginning.
You're trying to escape with was it Lyris?
That's the Wailing Prison. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You run across all of these like weird abominations and things that are stitched together.
It's as much as a like mining facility of gems and stuff like that, and like yeah, okay, there's torture rooms, it's a prison, and then just like experimental abominations all over the place.
Right, right. Yeah, it's weird stuff.
Yeah.
Now, these are different in other ways as well. There's this whole section here where it says, like many other Daedra, the Zivkin detest all mortal races, of course. However, they hold particular contempt for the Dremora. Again, the ones that they seem to be lording over under Moleg Bal's, you know, leadership.
I mean, that sort of almost tracks with, you've got the Lord of Domination trying to make something essentially in his image
that also dominates
their
other
immediate
things.
Right. Thing is, one step below us are these, so let's just dominate the hell out of these things.
Yeah, it's, and they totally view them as lesser beings. And then there's this other interesting point, though. This contempt was not mutual for some kin or Dremora. The Dremora Lyrinth, who's a character who shows up a lot in ESO,
yeah,
viewed the Zivkin as potential acceptable allies, but maybe more trouble than they're worth. So it seems like they're not total, like they're not insane like the Zivali so much. You can negotiate with them, but they're still definitely that, like, we're still better than everybody else kind of attitude,
right,
that goes on. So similar in some ways, but still a little bit more able to negotiate with, or if their instructions happen to line up with the thing you want, they're willing to play ball for a little bit.
Right. They'll go with whatever benefits them the most, even if it's not necessarily something they would normally do by default. They won't blindly follow, like, oh no, I just won't work with you. It's more of a, yeah, I don't respect you. Okay, actually, I can benefit from this, and then go back to not respecting you or something.
Right, right. And their opinion of the Zivali is also interesting. They claim that the Zivali have pride without merit, cheap cunning, and questionable loyalties. So they're like, okay, you guys think you're the top, but what have you really done to prove it? Oh, and by the way, you're not loyal at all. And they see that as a negative. They're like, right, we're the loyal ones. You're just a bunch of reckless whatever.
Which is, again, very interesting, because so much of the Daedric culture that we've gone over and stuff like that throughout the series is so much into stuff like that, where it's just like there's these hierarchies and like then they form these clans and stuff like that, which is like was a big thing a lot of the time when less Moleg Bal, more of the Mehrunes Dagon. Mm-hmm. A lot of the clans would fight for his attention,
right,
and they would form these groups. And within their group, they would be super loyal, but then they'd like backstab the other clans.
Yeah.
And theoretically, they're all working for Mehrunes Dagon, but it's like, well, no, but we need to be the best clan, so we'll totally sabotage this so that we can look better.
But
so
but that's still totally tracks for Dagon, though, like destruction and the chaos that ensues from that would totally make sense among his followers.
But it is funny because it's just like it's a permeating through so many different groups of Daedra where it's just like, yeah, we work together as long as it's benefiting me specifically. And then even when it comes to loyalty, it's like, yeah, okay, well, I'll be loyal as long as it's benefiting me. Mm-hmm. The fact mm-hmm. that it's like most of the time, it's like, okay, if I have to take a step back, yeah, that might not go so well outside literally the Daedric Prince itself.
So, okay, so what you're saying here is that the people in our own world who act the most like these Daedric creatures look out for themselves, take advantage of the people around them, only benefit from working with other people, and then totally burn those bridges, are narcissists with just like these kinds of personalities. The ones, you know, that end up becoming super wealthy and politicians and things like that. These are the Daedra of our own world.
Yeah, it seems like it. Also, it explains why literally all shops in Tamriel are actually run by Daedra.
They're the ones who are, yeah, looking out for themselves, super selfish, greedy, yep, exploitative.
Turns out Winking Skeever owned by a Zivali.
The Winking Skeever. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like these are negative traits. These are qualities that you.
They are.
Yeah.
The problem is when they are unchecked, it's the balance between where do you have a level of humanity and concern about anything other than yourself, mm-hmm, and where can you also benefit from focusing and trying to get ahead. It's that balance, and it seems like a lot of times when you get into this, it's just like, there's there is no balance.
Right. Like it's a very human thing to try to balance looking out for yourself and then also the people that you care about and also being a good member of society, like balancing all of those things at the same time. It's a very human thing. But yeah, throwing the other people's side out and just worrying about yourself.
Which is funny because that's where you get that kind of strange dichotomy in the series, is because you get that normal human side aspect when you deal with Nern and being in Tamriel. Yeah. A lot of the cultures to a degree act super like our world.
They try to work together, but they try to look out for themselves. There's a balance.
They backstab each other for benefits as long as it's not too horrific. And it's like, it's this very mimicking real life. And then the Daedra are the version where it's like, no, backstabbing is just normal. Like, what do you mean? Like, and they've always found it odd when you interact with them. Like, why the hell do you care?
Why would you care? Why would you ever do something for somebody else?
Would that matter? That's not benefiting you. Why bother with that? It's really interesting to see just starkly put against it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. I still think it would be really weird to have an offshoot or a DLC. Clearly, we've had DLCs that go to Oblivion Realms and things. But to have a, like, well, you got to pick. Are you a Dromora? Are you a Zivali? Are you a Zivkin? You know, like,
do
you go
where on, do you fit in the hierarchy? Yeah,
where do you fit in the hierarchy? Go on these quests for your Daedric lord in order to, you know.
I would really recommend if people, for anybody who listens and actually plays the Elder Scrolls Online, to any degree, you don't need to be super strong or anything like that because it's scaled level-wise. Mm-hmm. I strongly recommend if you have interest in this stuff now that we're concluding this series or like this section of the series type of thing with all the you know, the Daedra, strongly suggest, yes, it's the second part of the Gates of Oblivion year where Blackwood is the main chapter. The follow-up, it does work independently. It connects to the Blackwood chapter, but I cannot recommend the Deadlands DLC zone expansion, whatever you want to call it, enough. The main story's good or whatever, but not for that reason that I'm suggesting it. Go out into the Deadlands and Fargrave and do the side stories because it is so much of the stuff we're talking about, just like full, like, design wise, like, oh yeah, no, we're not even trying to make these things. You'll run into some Daedric villages, stuff like that out in the actual Deadlands. Puts a lot of this stuff into context, and it's one of my favorite DLCs because I was like, oh, they got weird with this again, and they haven't gotten quite this weird since Battlespire.
yeah, Apocrypha is pretty weird too. Again, Apocrypha's another Daedric realm
with last year's in Necrom, yeah,
but way more focus on the whole like cultivating of information, and they're a lot of the characters come across are doing their jobs, working
and
for
a lot of them,
Hermaeus Mora.
Right, it's a very strong tie into exactly how the denizens of Apocrypha act in Apocrypha.
Right,
whereas the Deadlands, although it is Mehrunes Dagon's zone, a lot of them are just being weird.
Yeah, like, it just feels like, more.
This is some of the
Daedric
weird crap we. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is some of the weird crap we hear about. It's like Seekers don't work for other groups. They work for Hermaeus Mora. Dromora can be anywhere.
Right.
And you'll just find like a Dromora village. And it's just like you're watching their inner politics. And it's just like, oh, well, there's a murder. Like, how do they even treat this?
Right.
And they're sort of apathetic about that, except for the inconvenience it causes.
Right. Because it inconveniences them personally. It's not about there was a murder. This is an, you know.
There's no sense of justice. We need to punish this person because they mess stuff up.
Right. This is inconvenient for me.
Yeah. So that's why I figured that was kind of worth mentioning because, like, with conclusion of that, I definitely feel that is a good in-game example of a lot of the stuff we've talked about over this portion of the series.
Yeah, go check that stuff out. And as usual, we'd love to hear your thoughts on any of the stuff that we've covered, whether you join us on the Robots Radio Discord or you, if you sign up for the Patreon and come join us and we can all talk about it next week. Any of that stuff. We love being part of this community and you being part of the community and all of that stuff as well. But that's going to do it. We did it. Okay. We did it. Now I can say we did it.
Now we officially did it.
Those are all the Daedra creatures so far I'm sure there will be more added as more games come out and upgrades and updates and whatever. But that, we did it. Congratulations. Thank you, DigiLady. Chat, thank you for being here. Hope you
enjoyed the Daedric Bestiary.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed all of it. We're going to have our patron chat next week. And then Lotus and I still have to figure out where we're going next time. I mean, there's lots of things we haven't covered yet. We could get into some more of these like godlike creatures. We could get into some more individual character stuff. Some of the locations we haven't covered yet. There's just so much. So stay tuned. We'll find some cool things and we'll discuss it. So don't worry about that. But Lotus, I'm sure you've got other stuff to share before we head out.
Yeah, well, ideally we'll be recording Tales this weekend to discuss all the stuff in ESO and plans coming up with, you know, the Amsterdam event and everything. But yeah, no, I that's really the big thing is stay tuned. We should have a new episode of UESP's Tales of Tamriel for you by this weekend, going into the start of next week. And White Strikes Mayhem just started for anybody who plays ESO, which is a big PvP event. Super fun. If you're not good at PvPs, now's the time to check it out because you can just go in and it's absolute chaos in there.
Because most people don't know what they're doing.
Nope. Everybody gets involved at that point. And even if you're real good and you're worried about going up against somebody who's super talented at the game, when you have a giant horde of, you know, 180 people alongside you just run with siege weapons, nobody's good enough to stop that. So
right.
So it kind of puts everybody on a level playing field in Cyrodiil and stuff like that. So it might be a good time to check it out.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Also, if you want to check out any of the other stuff that I've got going on, robotsradio.net for my shows and a bunch of other shows on the network. Plus, you could sign up on the Rocket Club. I mean, if you want some help launching your own podcast, getting it set up with some knowledge, I'll give you some knowledge dumps and help you get everything started. And heck, maybe even get you able to run ads and make a little bit of money off of it, that kind of thing. So go check that stuff out, robotsradio.net. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll be back next week. And until then, stay safe out there and try not to turn into an amorphous blob that combines with other creatures in order to make even scarier things.
I'm going to agree with that.
We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.